Pine Low Camp, August 8th, 2019, evening meeting.
Praise the Lord.
Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise
God. Without Him, we cannot do anything. Mm-hmm. In our own strength, we're not establishing anything eternal. Mm-hmm. What we do on this earth is only on this earth. But what we do through His strength, I think they can hear me. But what we do in the Spirit is what stands for all time.
Yes. Praise.
Praise the Lord. Let us stand and just go to prayer this evening.
Yes, God.
Praise you, Lord. Hallelujah. Father, you see before you people who do not wish to establish an earthly kingdom, who do not wish to establish an organization or a movement, but hearts that come before you asking, Lord, for your Spirit to move on our lives.
Yes.
And Lord, though we've prayed this many times and we felt the wind of your Spirit over our lives,
yes,
Father, somehow tonight I just feel that we still do not fully understand what it means to be fully led by your Spirit.
Hallelujah.
Lord, we need you to teach us,
yes,
how to follow in that way.
Amen.
We ask, Lord, that you be with us this evening. Let all be done to your glory and to your purpose, we pray. In Jesus' name.
Hallelujah.
Amen. So a song that just came to me, Teach me thy way, O Lord. Teach me thy way, thy guiding grace afford. Teach me thy way. Help me to walk aright, more by faith, less by sight. Lead me with heavenly light. Teach me thy way. Sister Greif, I think it's in that book that you have underneath your chair with the music and everything. That hymnal, I believe it's in there. Is it in here? Is it in the red book? So we got three. Now we need a fourth. Milton.
Is that it?
That's the one. Do you know it, Milty?
Do
you know it? Teach me thy way.
Help me to walk.
sight. Lead me with heavenly light. Teach me your way. When I am sad at heart, teach me
just to him. And family have a song. Do you have your children with you? If you felt it fit in any time or even right now, we'll sing again, Jesus, What a Wonder You Are. And if you feel to sing now, that would be acceptable. Let's sing it to Him again, What a Wonder You Are, Lord.
Jesus, what a wonder.
This is a song that Alina had felt was the theme for her after North Battleford Camp. And so she sang it to our local assembly. And we just want to encourage you that you can lay down your burdens today and this week at camp, but you can also lay them down every day back at home.
It's warm as toast, walking two by.
we're going to sing it again, and you're welcome to join us. So the words of the chorus are, lay down the burden of your heart. I know you'll never miss it. Show the Father where it hurts, and let your Father lift it.
Said this morning, we're not just three songs in a sermon, and we're not, sometimes we have several songs and then we have an altar call, but the Spirit's here right now. So stand up, and if you have a burden that you need to lay at the altar, bring it right now and show the Father where it hurts. So let's stand and sing it again. And if you need prayer and you need to leave a burden here, you come right now.
Show.
elders, will you come and be with your congregants and pray with them as we sing again? Elders, if you have someone here, or if you don't even, and you can help someone else out, please come now and pray with those. Here am I, O Lord, waiting at your throne. All that really matters is knowing I'm your own. All that really matters.
afraid to bring your small requests to God, because He is there for you always, whatever the baggage you have. And if in every situation, bring your requests to God, because He's always here for you.
Your glory, God, is what our hearts long for.
This song actually came to me in a meeting earlier this week when the Spirit moved so much and we needed comfort. And I've asked Lane to sing it. So those of you who came up and asked for your burdens to be lifted and you need that covering of the Lord, this is not a performance. It's a ministry. It's a ministry in song. The covering of the Lord come down upon you.
shelter me straight in your strong, loving arms. Help me to see there's no cause for alarm. Lord Jesus,
saith the Lord. This is a new day. This is a new hour. Yea, for the church of the living God. I say unto thee, my people, this is a day and an hour. Yea, will I begin to lead my people. Yea, in the Spirit, in a new way. Thou art seeing my people ways that thou hast not known. And the way before thee, my people, is a way that you have never walked before. But my people, I say unto thee that I will hold your hand each step of the way. My people, I say unto thee, I am showing thee, yea, a new way, a way in which you can come unto the Father. My people, I say unto thee, yea, we do see, yea, thy hurt. We see thy pain, and we understand where you are coming from. But we're asking you to come unto us, saith the Lord. Come unto us and be honest with us, saith the Lord. Come unto us, yea, and share your heart, for we already do know it. But we want you to come and stand with me and stand with us, saith the Lord.
Praise
Heavenly Lord. Father, we somehow
sense the same spirit that Israel sensed when they stood before the water, ready to enter in to the promised land. Father, we are anticipating the waters to part, dear Lord. We're anticipating change. Father, as we see the darkness of the earth, gross darkness upon the people, yet, Father, our hearts are not moved nor shaken. For truly, Lord, we have walked with You, and You have walked with us. We have seen Thy ways for many years. Father, we pray that we would be willing to step into the water. Father, this is the way that we have never gone before. But Father, You are ahead of us. You are leading the way. And so, Father, we just want to be before You. We just want to be obedient. We fear You, O Lord. We're not afraid, but we fear You, dear Lord. We respect You, dear Lord. We honor You, dear Lord. We praise You, dear Lord. We glorify Your holy name, dear Lord. You are the King of kings and the Lord of lords. All power and authority has been given unto You, O God. We thank You for Jesus. We thank You. We thank You. We thank You. Thank You, Lord, that we don't have to try and figure this out. We thank You, Lord, that You are leading the way. Father, help us to be still and know that You are God. Yes, and help us to have an obedient heart and a willing heart. In the name of Jesus, hallelujah.
Praise You, Lord.
Father, we've sung songs for an hour, and things appear to be in a different order. And I'd have you know, Father, that we'd follow anywhere that You want us to go. And we rip down any idol that would come in the way. Lord, what we desire is You. And Lord, we will go wherever You will lead us. I pray, God, that You would just take us along. Father, we've heard testimonies about belittling ourselves before You, about taking the mask off, about worshiping You with all of our heart. And I pray that would be our desire today, that we come before Thee and that we'd seek Thee with a new hunger. Hallelujah.
Praise You, Lord. Praise You, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise You, Lord. Hallelujah. Just cry out. Praise You, Lord. Hallelujah. Praise You, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Praise You, Lord.
We exalt Your name, Lord Jesus.
We glorify the Lord.
Praise You, Lord. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise You, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Praise His name. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Praise His name. Amen. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Praise Him. Hallelujah. Thank You, Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank You, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise You, Lord. Hallelujah. Blessed be Your name, O God. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Praise You, Lord. Amen, amen, amen. Glory to God. Praise you, Lord. Hallelujah. Praise you. Praise you, Lord. Hallelujah. Praise his name. Hallelujah.
Just come into form how you see fit. We pray, oh Father, that every step we take, that the enemy would just be afraid of us, that he would leave us, that he would take away his sin away from us, Father. We'd walk in peace and joy and unity, Father. We pray for a holy anointing upon this assembly. We pray, Father, for unity, Father, and for you to come to see us, Father, and to help us on our way. We pray, Father, you would help us on our journey, oh Father, that you would lead the way and guide us. That your Spirit would just flow through us, Father. We would see you in a greater measure. We ask you, Father, to lead and guide us, Father, even now. And for you to meet every need, Lord, that we have. That the enemy would flee from us, O Lord. And that we would see your glory alone, O Lord. That we would see your glory in the body of Christ. And that you would lead us step by step, glory to glory, O Lord. And that you would just lead us, Father, every step of the way. In thy name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah. 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 Praise you.
Hallelujah.
Praise you, Lord.
What it is that we need to change so that we can move forward. What do we need to get rid of? What do we need to set aside?
Amen.
What do we need to remove from our lives so that we can move forward with you?
Yes,
just make that really clear to us.
Yes, Lord.
Because sometimes we're obtuse. Does each one of us just make it very real so that we understand clearly we need to get rid of to follow you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Yes, amen.
Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Were willing to come to the front and lay down their hurts and their wounds. But sometimes human nature wants to hang on to those things, but they don't serve us any purpose. And your example to us, Lord, is that we would be free and those things would not hang on us or harbor us anymore. Lord Jesus, I thank you for the work that you're doing in your church, that you're setting your people free. Lord, I thank you for the obedience and the faithfulness, that when the call goes out, that the people respond and enter into the thing that you're opening up before us. Lord, we thank you that you are getting us ready for that day when we can be a great blessing upon the earth. Lord, when we're not so encumbered by our own personalities, but that we are full of your Holy Spirit. Lord, surely you are doing this work, and we recognize it in one another, and we thank you, and we glorify you, and we pray, oh Lord, that you'll just continue to fill us to overflowing. In Jesus' name, amen.
Praise you, Lord. Hallelujah. Praise you, Lord. Hallelujah. Praise you, Lord. Hallelujah. Praise you,
Lord. Let the spirit of Caleb and Joshua rest upon your people.
Yes, Lord. Hallelujah.
Lord, I just ask you to forgive us for the ways that we have hurt others. Lord, I just feel to pray just on behalf of leaders and on behalf of followers, if in any way we have hurt those who lead us or those who follow us, Lord, I just ask for your forgiveness. Lord, I pray that you would reverse the harm that was done. Lord, that you wouldn't hold it against anyone, but that you paid for it on the cross, Lord. I just pray that you would allow us to forgive others for their hurts against us, just as you've forgiven us, Lord. I just pray that we could rest in what you've done on the cross, in the ways that we've been hurt. Lord, that as a body, we could look forward and not back. That those who come in our path and tell us they've been hurt, whether it's by us or by the church, that we could offer to them this forgiveness is theirs, and that we ask for their forgiveness, and that you have promised you will forgive us, and that we don't have to earn this forgiveness. So I just pray that this could flow to each of us here tonight, and that it would just well up inside of us to all those we come into contact with. Lord, I just pray you'll forgive me and anyone else who may feel like they have the right to be upset or the right to feel hurt by anyone, Christian or non-Christian. And I just ask for your forgiveness for letting that hurt get in the way of really ministering to those people, Lord. I pray especially for the non-Christians in our life, the ones that might say hurtful words to us, that might mock us, or that don't seem to understand our way of life. And I just pray that we wouldn't be offended by how they feel about us, or by their confusion about Christianity, but that we would be able to just continually show love, show care, show listening ears, oh Lord, so that those hurts wouldn't get in the way, and those offenses, Lord, that they would just sense over and over again the victory of forgiveness in our life. Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Lord, as I sense a spirit of repentance, I'd like to repent on behalf of those that feel the same way as me. Lord, we recognize our weakness, and we recognize how we failed. And we as a church want to be a light to the world. We want to be a city on the hill. We see that vision. We desire that vision. And I am ashamed at the way I've treated people in the world, the way I've denied you, and the way I've been ashamed of you. And I know there is no condemnation for that, but I just confess that on behalf of anybody else as well. Yes. Lord, would you give us a new boldness?
Yes, Lord.
A new courage and strength?
Yes, Lord.
Give us faith, Lord.
You told Joshua to be strong and courageous.
Yes.
And we can have that same spirit.
Yes.
You've given us all we need to preach the gospel into this world. And Lord, we see what's in front of us. We see our own sin, our own self-consciousness and embarrassment, whatever else each individual has, as you've spoken to each one of us and had certain convictions, individual convictions, and we don't judge one another. But Lord, let this be a new day that we can reach your world. If this is the time to do that, if there is more pruning, let us be ready for that. If there is more purging, let us be disciplined to endure that.
Amen. Yes, Lord.
Lord, I also want to apologize on behalf of men, the way we've treated other women.
Yes,
in the church, if we've been patronizing, if we've been felt superior, if we felt we're better, if we felt anything above what you know us to be, and if we've hurt women in this church individually or in their ministries, I just pray that you would forgive that and you would make a way for restoration as you're the great restorer. And Lord, in the church, as we move forward in this, I pray that there'll be grace as we change. Change is hard, and we'll make mistakes, but we know you are there. Your mercy is there, and we just pray the spirit of mercy in our church, in all of us, towards one another as we move forward. Lord, let us be a people of prayer. I just feel in my heart I want to wait on you more and listen to you. In my individual life, Lord, let us be praying in our families more. It is.
Yes,
I pray for the husbands and the dads.
It's
hard. It's hard to follow your standard, Jesus. But you are good, and you are sufficient.
Yes.
There is no condemnation.
Yes.
But Lord, let us be praying families and praying churches,
yes,
praying bodies.
Yes.
Amen.
Are conscious of our failings before you, Lord. Not that we don't. We know you love us, Lord, and we know you have great plans for us. But we also are so conscious of our many failings. And Lord, one of them that I would confess, and maybe others with me, is a critical spirit towards other people, towards your people, or towards people that you love. And, Lord, you've told us that we're not to judge one another. We are to get the beam out of our own eye before we get the mote out of our brother's eye. And Lord, it just seems so much in our nature, in my nature, that the first thing I see with somebody is something where they're not measuring up in some way. And sometimes we're hardest on ourselves, Lord. We criticize ourselves, even though we're not even to judge ourselves. Except by your Spirit, Lord, from time to time, you want us to search our hearts. Not that we would come under condemnation, Lord, but that we would confess our sins and that you would be faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Lord, why do we have so much trouble with this simple truth that we should just confess our sins, Lord? Why do we have so much pride in our life? Forgive us, Lord. Give us a spirit of humility, Lord. Give us a love for one another that overwhelms that critical spirit that we so easily have for one another, Lord. And set us free. Set us free so that we can love beyond anything that is humanly possible. Not because of us, Lord, but because you are living in us. You are the living creator of all of the universe. And yet you promised that you would come and dwell in your people. And you would give us the ability to come and dwell in you. To enter into your presence, to enter into the heavenly realm, to enter into your kingdom, O God. What a privilege. Lord, we ought to be on our knees just begging for forgiveness, Lord, for not recognizing the greatness of who you are and how much you love us. Lord, we receive your love tonight, Lord. We open our hands, we stretch our hands to you, Lord, tonight. We receive your love, O Lord. Pour it out upon us, O Lord, in a greater way. Come down, O Lord, and overwhelm us with your love, we pray. In Jesus' name, O Lord. Hallelujah.
Yes, Lord. Amen. Amen. Amen.
Hallelujah.
Glory.
Against him. We thank you, Lord, that we can have victory through you, through Jesus who paid the price for all of our sins. We thank you, Lord, and praise you, those of us that are older, for the years you've given us. And Lord, where we or where I haven't done all I might have done through those years, Lord, I ask forgiveness and I thank you for what you've enabled me to do. But Lord, without you, we can do nothing. We are empty without you. And so, Lord, we always want to be filled with your Spirit when we deal with people. I have opportunity to speak to people where I live. And when I go to visit sick, I have opportunity. But I pray that it might not be me ministering, but you ministering through me, Lord. And so I dedicate myself afresh to you, Lord, that I would do even more with the years that are left to me, Lord. I thank you, Lord, for your great mercy, your love. I know often the enemy would accuse us or condemn us for our failings, but Lord, you cover us with your blood when we fail, and you will help us to go on, to be strong, to stand tall for you, Lord. And oh Lord, that we wouldn't, when we see those faults in others, that we wouldn't concentrate on them, but that we would cover with love, because love covers a multitude of sins, and that when we have opportunity to talk to them about it, that we'd be led by your Spirit, because when we're led by your Spirit talking to people, they will not be angry or they will not fail to accept it, because if it's done by your Spirit, it will work, we know, Lord. And I thank you, Lord, and I praise you tonight for all that you do for us. And I thank you for this meeting, Lord, because you have come down with your glory, your mercy, And Lord, with our repentance, Lord, of our failings, and I thank you that you're hearing us. You've heard us, Lord. I want to pray especially, Lord, for someone that lives in my building where I live, right above me, and for the despair that he's a social worker and he's in despair because he has taken to drinking and he knows I'm a Christian. I pray that if you'll open up a way where I might be able to speak to him. And, oh, Lord, I just pray that he would be set free so that he'd be able to continue the social work that because he's a social worker. And Lord, there are many that need you so desperately. How can they help others when they need you so desperately themselves, whether they are social workers or whatever? It's only when they have your help that they can help others, Lord. And so, Lord, I just thank you again for meeting with us here in such a wonderful way. And I just pray that we would go on from here with a deeper walk with you, Lord, than ever before. Because we know that the hour in which we're living is a dark hour. And we just want to be the lights in the world that you would have us to be, Lord. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Be with you wherever you go. My people, I have not called you to a walk crippled by anxiety and fear. I have not called you to a walk where you flee from my ideal picture for your life. I have not called you to be Jonah and run. I have called you to stand firm. My people, I have called you to stand in the face of whatever challenges you see, to stand firm, to be leaders and examples to those around you. My people, follow me through my example, and I will lead you to where I will have you go.
Praise you, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise you, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise you, Lord. You may be seated. For those of you who came up tonight, I want you to remember the... Yes. I want you to remember the words of the song that Lane sang. I need your protection from danger and harm. Shelter me safe in your strong, loving arms. And then there'll be no cause for alarm. Under your shadow I won't be afraid. Help me, Lord, till the storm blows away. Then in the heat of the beautiful day, Lord Jesus, cover me. So those of you who came up and were prayed for, claim that those words for victory.
As I was not enjoying my shoes, the Lord just said to me, take them off. You're standing on holy ground. I took them off. And this is for encouragement, and it's a request from our dear friend. Keep walking with Jesus, walking with Jesus, day after day. Keep walking with him. Up on the mountains, down in the valleys, with every step, keep walking with him. He is your fortress. He's your deliverer, counselor and comforter. He is your friend. He gives you peace when you are discouraged, He'll pick you up to keep you walking with Him. Walking with Jesus, walking with Jesus, day after day, keep walking with Him. Up on the mountains, down in the valleys, with every step, keep walking with Him. He is your fortress, He's your deliverer, counselor and comforter, He is your friend. He'll give you peace when you are discouraged. He'll pick you up to keep you walking with Him.
We had lots from the Word this morning, and I think the chapter that showed up most often was the 8th chapter of Romans. So I'm going to read a portion of it from the Phillips translation. So you don't need to follow along. You can even close your eyes and listen if you like. I'm not going to interrupt it much. I'm just going to read. But you are not carnal, but spiritual, if the Spirit of God finds a home within you. You cannot indeed be a Christian at all unless you have something of His Spirit in you. Now, if Christ does live within you, His presence means that your sinful nature is dead, but your spirit becomes alive because of the righteousness He brings with Him. I said that our nature is dead in the presence of Christ, and so it is because of its sin. Nevertheless, once the Spirit of Him who raised Christ Jesus from the dead lives within you, He will, by that same Spirit, bring to your whole being new strength and vitality. So then, my brothers, you can see that we have no particular reason to feel grateful to our sensual nature, or to live life on the level of instincts. Indeed, that way of living leads to certain spiritual death. I'm going to interject there. That's opposite of what the world says, right? The world says if it feels good, do it. And that's not what the Word says. But if, on the other hand, you cut the nerve of your instinctive actions by obeying the Spirit, you are on your way to real living. All who follow the leading of God's Spirit are God's own sons. Nor are you meant to relapse into the old slavish attitude of fear. You have been adopted into the very family circle of God, and you can say with a full heart, Father, my Father. The Spirit Himself endorses our inward conviction that we really are, the children of God. Think what that means. If we are His children, we share His treasures and all that Christ claims as His will belong to all of us as well. Yes, if we share in His sufferings, we shall certainly share in His glory. In my opinion, whatever we may have to go through now is less than nothing compared with the magnificent future God has planned for us. The whole creation is on tiptoe to see the wonderful sight of the sons of God coming into their own. The world of creation cannot as yet see reality. Not because it chooses to be blind, but because in God's purpose it has been so limited. Yet it has been given hope. When you're discouraged about what God has shown us and how other people don't see it or other people don't understand it, go back here. And he's told us the creation isn't choosing to be blind to it, but God is withholding it now for his purpose. But he has given all of creation hope. And the hope that is in the end, the whole of created life. And the hope is that in the end, the whole of created life will be rescued from the tyranny of change and decay and have its share in that magnificent liberty which can only belong to the children of God. It is plain to anyone with eyes to see at the present time all created life groans in a sort of universal travail. And it is plain, too, that we who have a foretaste of the Spirit are in a state of painful tension while we wait for that redemption of our bodies, which will mean that at last we have realized our full sonship in him. We were saved by this hope, but in our moments of impatience, let us remember that hope always means waiting for something that we do not yet possess. But if we hope for something we cannot see, then we must settle down to wait for it in patience. The Spirit of God not only maintains this hope within us, but helps us in our present limitations. For example, we do not know how to pray worthily as sons of God, but His Spirit within us is actually praying for us in those agonizing longings which never find words. And God, who knows the heart's secrets, understands, of course, the Spirit's intention as he prays for those who love God. Moreover, we know that to those who love God, who are called according to his plan, everything that happens fits into a pattern for good. God, in his foreknowledge, chose to bear them the family likeness of his Son, that he might be the eldest of a family of many brothers. He chose them long ago. When time came, he called them. He made them righteous in his sight and then lifted them to the splendor of life as his own sons. In the face of all this, what is there left to say? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not grudge his own Son, but gave him up for us all. Can we not trust such a God to give us, with him, everything else that we can need? Who would dare accuse us whom God has chosen? The judge himself has declared us free from sin. Who is in a position to condemn? Only Christ, and Christ died for us. Christ rose for us. Christ reigns in power for us. Christ prays for us. Who can separate us from the love of Christ? Can trouble, pain, or persecution? Can lack of clothes and food, danger to life and limb, the threat of force of arms, Indeed, some of us know the truth of that ancient text. For thy sake we are killed all the day long. We're accounted as sheep for the slaughter. No. In all these things we win an overwhelming victory through him who has proved his love for us. I am have become absolutely convinced that neither death nor life, neither messenger of heaven nor monarch of earth, neither what happens today nor what may happen tomorrow, neither a power from on high nor a power from below, nor anything else in God's whole world has any power to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord.
Amen.
Praise you, Lord. Let me stay here. Let me stay here.
No, that's wonderful.
Thank you. Bless you.
That was the GPS of what God has in mind. God's perfect salvation, if you want GPS to stand for something. God has such a wonderful plan, it's staggering. Tomorrow we're going to have a wonderful celebration of the Holy Communion. And Chris Cornell, if you would take a few moments now and share what's on your heart, it'll help us prepare. We're learning more and more about the communion and the incredible privilege it is to be able to participate in it. And somebody pointed out to me that there was a woman that touched the hem of his garment and she was transformed. But tomorrow we'll touch him, not his garment, when we take that bread that's been blessed, when we drink that wine that will be transformed by the Spirit of God, and we will touch him. And so let us prepare our hearts for that as our brother ministers what he has on his heart.
Praise God. It's almost humbling to be up here this evening, and it's thrilling too and encouraging just to see the maturity in the body of Christ. I'm not really going to share anything new. In fact, pretty much everything I have to share, it's not a whole lot, but just a few thoughts that God's put in my heart. But everything this morning through scripture or an exhortation or a prayer or a prophecy has kind of already been covered. But it's great to have confirmation what God's doing. And you know, when you are asked to speak or you're have something prepared, it's always nervous whether it's going to fit into a service. And so, again, it's almost a little overwhelming. But it's a very serious hour that we're living in. And it's an exciting hour, but it's a mysterious hour, too, because it's kind of a direction we haven't gone before. But it's our opportunity to really trust and have faith in God like we've never had before. The faith that we really need to enter in to where he has called for us. I won't talk too much on the communion tomorrow, but just a couple thoughts, though, to help prepare, because I think some of the brethren might have something to share tomorrow morning for service. But a couple weeks ago, during our communion, God just dropped it on my heart, and as talked about tonight, is just examining our own hearts almost every day so that we can receive from God, not just during communion, but any time we're maybe coming to service or coming to camp or the night before a service, is just to kind of be preemptive. But almost, I think, in this hour that we're living in, just to ask God to come in and examine our hearts, and if there's anything that needs to be taken care of or something maybe that we actually need to start doing that we've been negligent in. And it's just like felt really impressed upon me that this is the serious hour that we're living in, how important it is that if there's any division, anything that could get in the way of us receiving from God, that it's not there. And we're ready to be filled with His Spirit. And I appreciate what Sister Peters shared about praying or holding back a little bit for an answer to prayer and letting God do a work in somebody's life. And in this last year, I've kind of been thought has come through my heart is it's not a lack of faith, I think, sometimes that someone's not healed, but knowing and having the mind of Christ, knowing when God's doing a perfect work in somebody's life and allowing that to come to fruition and not interfering with what God's plan is. I know some people, and I have at times struggled with having the faith that I don't have the faith to pray or heal for somebody, but I don't think it's that. I think it's allowing God to do the work that needs to be done. And it's that purification process that God is doing. And He wants all of us as the body of Christ to come together in maturity and unity, not just individually, but as the body of Christ, so that, you know, somebody isn't elevated, but God wants His body of Christ to come together. And He wants us to be prepared for what He needs to do in our lives to do that. A couple of scriptures that I have, not too many, just a couple here. Galatians 2 and 20. Let's see. I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. In the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave Himself for me. And so I think it's the flesh is at enmity with God, and it doesn't want to do that naturally. But as Christians, I know that I've been guilty of not. I've been identified with Christ and associated with Christ, but not truly crucified with Christ, where it's no longer I who live, but Christ who lives within me. And that is the point so that God can fill Himself within me in letting go. And that's part of the examination process, that if anything God's doing in my life, it's so that He can prepare me to be a chosen vessel to fill His Spirit. And not just me, but the whole body of Christ be filled to be His, the temple of the Holy Spirit. Let's see. In first, I think it's Second Corinthians. Sorry, I have my notes, but my scribbling wasn't the best. So let's see. I think it's in Second Corinthians, First Corinthians chapter 11. Verse 27. Okay, so this is a couple of just verse for tomorrow. But therefore, whoever eats this bread or drinks this cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of the body and the blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of the bread and drink of the cup. For he who drinks and eats in an unworthy manner casts and drinks judgment in himself, not discerning the Lord's body. And I think my point there is just how serious it is that we examine ourselves and not kind of get in the routine of that. Because God really wants us to examine our hearts so that He can do a work and fill and do that work in us. And then 2 Corinthians verse 4. Finally, won't be too long. I know it's getting late in the evening, but these are very familiar scriptures, nothing new, and most of them have been touched on already. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 7. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellence of the power may be of God and not of us. We are hard-pressed on every side, yet not crushed. We are perplexed, but not in despair, persecuted, but not forsaken, struck down, but not destroyed, always carrying about in the body the dying of our Lord Jesus, that the life of Jesus also be made manifest in our body. For we who live are always delivered for our death for Jesus' sake, that the life of Jesus also may be manifested in our mortal flesh. So, it's again, just when these trials and tribulations come into our life, there's an opportunity for God to purify us. If you haven't read the and our brother Herrick Holt's book, Messages to the Church, he talks about the potter and the clay. And if you haven't read it or haven't read it recently, I highly encourage you to read that. And just talks about that. And the one part that really stands out, just how hot the furnace is that the clay vessel goes through, the purification, the fire of what it takes to make a vessel pure, and the whole process. And, you know, we get lumped and thrown on the table, and God removes some of the debris and stuff that's not supposed to be in there. And sometimes instead of just tossing us on the table, it's like he's taking the sledgehammer to us. And sometimes he needs to do that, but it's for his purpose to do that. So we can be a vessel that God can fill us with his Holy Spirit. And just the direction that God is calling us, the seriousness of what God is calling us, is going to require that. It's a new day that we're entering, and having the faith and allowing that purification so that God can fill us. And that's why we need to examine our lives, so that God can continually do that work in our lives. And just one more verse here. Let's see. In John chapter 7, starting at verse 35. Or verse 37, sorry. So John 7, verse 37. On the last day, the great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried out, saying, "If anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. He who believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water." And I read this just yesterday, and one thing that kind of jumped out at me is this. Jesus stood and he cried out. He cried out. He didn't just casually say or just shout it, but he cried out from only the Son of God could. What he had wanted for his people is, if anyone who thirsts, let him come to me and drink. He who believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water, rivers of life of God. And that's what our vessel is for, so God can pour his spirit into us and let it not only fill us, it's not to fill us, it's to overflow and out into such a dark world, a lost world. And God has to do that purification in our hearts and make us a vessel so that water can not only be poured into us, but, and that's not for, again, it's to overflow, to flow to a world. And just the seriousness of that call. So I just encourage you. I mean, it's just beautiful. Just everything that has been said in the last couple of days, and scripture and singing in the spirit and the prophecy and the prayer. It's just so beautiful to see that God is really speaking kind of the same message to everyone of what we need to do. And so I just am so encouraged and excited and a little nervous about the direction God is leading us. But he is faithful and he's able. And we just have to have trust and faith, and to see the maturity in the body of Christ, you know, to see people wanting and waiting and listening to his spirit. We have to quiet our spirits before him so much more now in these days. All that's going on around about us, just to kind of close everything out and just listen to his gentle, quiet spirit speaking to us, leading us in the direction that he wants us, and having the faith and trusting God. So, amen.
This is good news that God wants us to be examining our hearts all the time. I just really appreciate that new focus. For me, it's a new focus that this is an ongoing examination. And then the pinnacle is when we come before the Lord in the communion. And Brother Byron, if it's okay, I hope I don't say it wrong, but you mentioned that even the way we dress when we come before the communion can show honor to God. And did I say it the right way? And I think that we know that we want to do all we can to show the Lord that this is meaningful to us and that we are honoring the very substance of Christ when we take the communion. I wonder, Sister Rhoda, if you have a report on Cheryl. You know it. I want you to come and pray, Rhoda, and pray for Cheryl and then dismiss the service.
All I can say is, wow. Cheryl will have to have surgery. But you know, the whole process was a miracle. When we left, we asked for people to pray. You all prayed. We prayed. When we arrived at the hospital, in the ER, we were walking up. Right away, somebody came out of the hospital with a wheelchair and grabbed Cheryl and took her in without us asking, without anything. They took her, got her information, her driver's license, her insurance, ushered her right into a room. Probably within 10 minutes, a doctor was there seeing her, talking to her. They went through all of her meds. The first thing he says, she's on the wrong medication. They gave her the right medication immediately. She went from pain to relaxation to comfort as much as she could. He talked to her, asked her all the tests that she had done in Texas. They told her about this. They ordered a CT scan. Within a half an hour, she was being wheeled away, and she had her CT scan. She came back probably within just not very long time at all. The doctor showed up and he said she's got a growth, they don't know what it is, a mass of some kind, whether it's a cyst, an infection, a bleed. They don't know what it is on one of the fallopian tubes. It's the wrong word. I'm not very good at those things, you know. But anyhow, you know what I'm talking about. But she has one behind her uterus. It's there, and it's quite swollen, quite big. And so they says, well, the CT was not complete, so they did an ultrasound. And even with the ultrasound, they didn't. But the surgeon, they had a gynecologist specialist there, and he looked at it, and he says they want to go in. They want to do an optoscopy. Yeah, well, you know. Those words aren't mine. I can talk to you about electrical real easy, but that one's not there. Anyhow, they want to go in, and they said it'll be a 15 to 20 minute surgery, and then they'll be done. But while we were in church, another thing, and this is the most remarkable part. Around 10 o'clock, I was told you all were praying. Cheryl was scared. She was crying. She was saying, I don't want this to be cancer. She's afraid of death. She just was so bound with fear. And all of a sudden, literally, I felt a present walk into that room. He walked in. He walked by me. And he went to Cheryl. And I know he's there. They've had another doctor come in now and says they're not going to permit her to have the surgery just yet because she's been having blood in her bowel. And so they want to find out exactly where the ulcer's at, because they're pretty sure it's an ulcer. So they can stop it, cauterize it, whatever they have to do, because when they take her off her gabapentin, when they start it again, they don't want her to bleed out. And they need to find this. And so it's a miracle the way this hospital has taken Cheryl and is pushing it, and yet with such beautiful... Her doctor's a Christian. It was incredible. You know, it was orchestrated by God. For whatever reason, I don't know. But I want to give Him the glory. And I want to say, we felt your prayers. You were there with us in that room. And I mean, I honestly felt that presence. I told Debbie, I says, somebody just walked in here because they brushed up against me, and it was the Spirit of God. I could feel it. I just want to give God the glory, and I want to say thank you. But we can't quit praying. We have to keep praying, because this battle isn't over yet. But God is doing a tremendous work right now.
Praise God. Do you want to pray for Cheryl and then pray for the snacks there and then dismiss us?
Okay.
Yeah.
Our loving Heavenly Father, we're so very thankful that you care for each and every one of us. We thank you for Cheryl, dear Lord. And those of us who know her know the rough path that she has been on with her health, with her anxieties. But we know, dear Lord, even as was testified just now, that your presence is with us, with her, in a very real way. And we pray, Heavenly Father, that you would make her very aware of that this night.
Yes,
that she would even open her eyes and know,
yes,
that you are there with her and that you are comforting her, that you hold her in the palm of your hand, and that the work that you are doing will be a good work.
Yes.
Give her peace, Heavenly Father.
Yes.
Let her know without a shadow of a doubt that you are her Heavenly Father, that you care for her more than anything anybody could ever care for her. And we know, dear Lord, that she loves you. We all love you, dear Lord, and
yes,
we thank you for the work that you are doing,
yes,
in this situation through all of us, how you are bringing the church together,
yes,
even with all of those prayer requests, and how we are just being bound together by your Spirit. Let that happen more and more,
yes,
dear Lord.
Yes, God.
Because we need each other. And so we just pray your blessing upon Cheryl in a special way today, this night. And we just thank you, dear Lord, for this meeting. And we pray that as we go our way, that you will bless us in our fellowship, that you will bless us as we have our snacks. We thank you for them, dear Lord. We thank you for the wonderful way that you are providing for us, that we can have such riches in you, dear Lord. And we just ask your blessing upon our evening and upon our night. Dismiss us in your
Hallelujah.
In your care, dear Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Jeff, are there any announcements? No. You are dismissed.